Welcome to the European CME Forum podcast. European CME Forum is a not-for-profit organization that promotes multi-channel discussion on matters relating to European and global CME CPD. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm the program director of European CME Forum. In today's episode, Celeste Calanco from Libra Miami chats with Good CME Practice Group members Fabiola De Andrade, an independent CME CPD consultant, and Thomas Kleinuder of KWHC. The Good CME Practice Group, or GCMEP, is a membership organization for CME providers based in Europe. The focus of today's episode is innovations in CME CPD.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Good CME Practice Group's webinar on innovation in CME and CPD. I'm your moderator today, Celeste Calanco, and I'm managing director of Liberum IME. We're an independent medical education group, and we are located in both the UK and the Netherlands. And Liberum is a member of the Good CME Practice Group. I'm joined here today with my fellow GCMEP members, Thomas Kleinuder and Fabiola De Andrade. So, Thomas, may I ask you to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yes, sure. Yes, my name is Thomas Kleinuder, and thanks for the possibility to join this webinar and to be with you to discuss the innovations in CME and CPD. And I'm managing director of KWHC. We are a German-based CME provider that is on the market for over 20 years now. We are focusing on online education. And yes, I would say this is my conflict of interest that we are doing CME events, and we have sponsored from industry for these events.
Thanks, Thomas. Fabiola, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Celeste, and thank you for the invitation to join this webinar. Very, very excited to be here. So I have been working in an accreditation body for over 10 years, managing from the accreditor side. And I recently have become an independent professional in CME CPD. That's why I joined this group. Very, very happy to be here.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I'm really excited about this topic today because, you know, it is innovation. We've seen a lot of changes, especially in the last 3 years with the pandemic. But I'm also very excited to speak with both of you because you do come at the whole CME, IME accreditation from a couple of different angles. And so I think this is a really exciting opportunity for us to share ideas from both the accreditors side and from the provider side. So, you know, looking at COVID and looking at what has changed, especially, I think we would all agree here that our lives have changed dramatically over the last 3 years, basically due to the pandemic. But of course, there's always other changes in technology and stuff such that goes along. Fabiola, you know, what types of innovation, you know, have you seen in the past 3 years?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned COVID, because I do think that the pandemic itself was an accelerator for a lot of change and innovation in the field of CME CPD. And one obvious one is that the majority, and I would say not 100%, but the majority of meetings became hybrid meetings. And if not hybrid meetings, they went full online. And this was something that was already possible before. You heard of meetings doing that. But I think the pandemic really sped it up, the process. And I have to say, in the last 3 years, maybe 5 to 3 years, I've seen a lot of innovation in micro-learning. Which is something that, again, we had it before, but now it seems to be more pervasive in CME now.
Okay, yeah. Thomas, what about you? What have you seen from an innovation standpoint?
Yes, I think, as you both mentioned, COVID has boosted a lot, but I would not say bring it down all down to consequences of COVID. I would see the positive aspects and I would mention from the not only CME provider's perspective, also from the physician perspective, I think we have learned being flexible. And flexible is also a point that the educational formats have developed from my perspective. I was mentioning we are focusing on online education, and that was 5 years ago, and we do that for 15 years. But now it became boosted by the pandemic situation. But I think now, is the pandemic over? I can't say that. It would not be over at the moment, but we are now coming to a point where we think from the reaction, putting a lot online, we are now discussing what are the learning formats, shorter formats, as Fabiola said, that really does make sense. And looking at the quality perspective, what is the best way? Smaller meeting, can it be online? Bigger meeting, should it be hybrid, or is it focusing on really face-to-face meeting and looking at the content and the learning objective? What does make sense? And we see a lot of innovation in the formats, not only the online presentation showing slides, more discussion, more interaction, and all these things happen right now. And I think there are a lot of things that will remain for the future.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the same thing from you know, from our side as well. You know, I think we've all been forced and looked at, you know, how to adapt certainly quickly. And I think, you know, people do hesitate to change things very quickly, especially in this format, in this world. But I think we've been forced to make changes. So, you know, I know as accreditors, we've had to make changes. As providers, we've had to make changes. But what are your thoughts about the learners? You know, what types of, you know, how has this affected them, the different types of changes? And what innovations do you see that they've adapted to well and enjoy? And what do you think that they may want that we're not providing for them at the moment? Thomas, I'll start back with you on this one.
I think for the learners, all healthcare professionals, the business life has changed a lot. Their daily practice, the work in hospital, they have to adapt their daily practice. Same for us as a company. Let's call it new work, or everything is hybrid in the working arena. And I think that happened a bit to the learners. They have adapted, they have questioned the formats. I don't want to stay the whole evening at a TV or PC screen to be in online meetings for learning when I had a long day. So it should be the right format that will become online. And the learners, I think the feedback we get proves that the learners question the format and give the feedback that we are coming to a new setting of educational formats.
Yeah. Fabiola?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Celeste, we were forced into this with not enough time to plan it. It was a shift that was quite abrupt. And I think for the learner, they had no choice but to adapt to the new ways of reaching CME. I think when you asked the first question, I kept thinking, I also want to say that the point of care education, I think people are more open to that now, to this, in this world where we need information a bit faster, definitely during the pandemic, that we may still be in another phase of the pandemic, who knows. So I think now the learner understands that, as Thomas said very well, you don't need to be sitting down in a lecture, be that at home or in a conference center, to get the education. I think the open-mindedness of what is CME and how can you get excellent quality CME is broader now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you bring up a really good point, Fabiola. You're talking about point of care learning. And I see that too. I think things are moving so quickly that healthcare professionals, both physicians and other healthcare professionals, really do want to try to get that learned. Sometimes it's, you know, ages ago, we used to call it on-the-job training, but that's really what it is. You know, you're learning while you're doing. But you come from an accreditor's position. What kind of challenges does that bring, do you see? And I know you're not speaking for any specific accreditation body, but, you know, dealing in that accreditation world, what kind of challenges do you see that accrediting or getting CME or CPD points for a on the job or a point of care learning? What challenges and what opportunities do you see there?
Yeah, that's an excellent question and not necessarily an easy one to answer because on the accreditor side, you definitely have to be more responsive to what's happening as it happens. I think before in the early days, all accrediting bodies were asking minimum of 2 months, 2 to 3 months to receive a full program in order to accredit it. That doesn't happen now. A program is finalized shortly before it has to be delivered. Now we have webinars. And again, during the COVID times, a lot of organizations and medical societies and providers in education were putting out webinars almost on a weekly basis about updates in treatment and updates. And of course you want to accredit that, but how does the slow moving accrediting world respond to this? And I have to say, it was a wake up call, I think. I think most of the accrediting bodies are very aware of the need to be more in touch with what is being produced in the provider world. So I think it's a positive innovation.
Super. Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's kind of that wake up that it's a time for a change. And I think it can be done, but to your point, there's a lot of challenges around it. Thomas, I'm going to kind of pull away from point of care, but I'm going to ask you about the micro learning. You mentioned it, micro learning. I think we've seen that happening. There's also social platforms and social media that are out there delivering education. What kind of experiences, what have you seen there? And what do you think might be the quote good or the bad that comes from that?
I would say it was Fabiola who mentioned it, but we were both talking about it. So I would see that will be a future because the daily practice has changed a lot and the time for the long formats, spending 3 hours in an evening or a full weekend for education, there is a place for that. But for the continuous learning, I think we should come to shorter formats. We know from the US there are models that using information systems in daily care can be accredited. I don't know these example right now in the European arena, but I think that will come, but a step in between will be the shorter formats that should be accreditable. And I think as a provider, together with good educators and all stakeholders in the existing accreditation system, you can always can do a lot with shorter formats, and I think the future is here and it's up to us to make it alive. And I would say I would not blame this flexibility we need on the accreditors and call them slow and all that, because during the pandemic all stakeholders have made big efforts, and we experienced that accreditors we work with has become more flexible. The challenge is, as everything becomes faster, stay with the quality.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we keep that quality going? And what kind of checks and balances can we put into place with doing this. Fabiola, any additional comments?
Like to add to that I think everybody had to change and adapt, and I don't know how it came out, but it didn't mean that the accreditors are slow in any way. I'm just saying that the way of working had to change. And I think ultimately that is good. Now, as we slowly start to go to another phase in the pandemic, and also I know that a lot of you guys, me too, have started going to live events again, which is great. And how does that learn from the past 2 years? How do we improve on what we were forced to implement very swiftly? Now we have the chance to see what works, what doesn't work. And I'm not talking only about big congresses. I'm talking about the small webinars. I'm talking about the guidelines from the accreditor side. What do we want to keep, and what do we want to improve on that we didn't necessarily have the time to run a pilot and then do it 1 year? It was all March 2020, I believe. Everybody had to make decisions very quickly. So I like the innovations that came out of it, but I feel that we should look at them and see how are they doing.
Yeah. So we talk about innovations, and I think we can all agree, everybody has had to innovate over the last 3 years. It hasn't been a question of who has or who has not, but who, but everybody has. But I think to that point, you know, can you tell me about who maybe you think has innovated the quickest or the fastest or the best, or maybe one of the better innovations that you've seen over the last maybe 3 years, maybe last 5 years, or something you see coming in the future? Thomas, do you want to speak to that?
That's a hard question, because I don't know what my highlight really is, because but as we are talking a lot about digitization and digital processes in all business, I think all the stakeholders who are offering educational formats, and I would not only say that CME providers, same for the society, same for other providers, starting with the hospital regional initiatives, they all have become more digital. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really the biggest move forward. And now it should come to a realistic future where this overflow of webinars will come to a good mixture between face-to-face, other formats, and online formats.
Yeah. Fabiola, what about you? Who have you seen innovating maybe the best or the most, or if you have examples, or what are your thoughts?
I cannot pinpoint one innovation, but I will say that I love that now there is always an option to participate digitally, that people don't feel left out if you are with restricted traveling, if you don't have the budget this year, if you just cannot go because of agenda issues, you are not prevented from participating. So the barriers for participation are so low that I think that's, again, it's not that we didn't have that before, but lately, and certainly within the window of the three past years, this has become the norm. Yeah. And that's what we need, low barriers for participation in CME. Not everybody is flying all the way through the world to go to an event, but CME is just more accessible.
Yeah. And I think, you bring up a good point. People can't fly, nor do they need to fly all over the world. I would hope that ultimately it does a few things. I mean, first of all, environmentally, it keeps us out of the skies a little bit more. More people can attend. And, I'm hoping that boosts the quality of not only education, but the quality of care that patients receive. receive, because more people can access this information from a wide variety of places. We participated in our first true hybrid conference a couple of weeks back. And I have to say, we haven't quite gotten there yet from a technology nor a logistics standpoint, but it was much better than what I expected. And I think that we are on the right track. And to your point, Fabiola and Thomas, I think we are going to be looking at new formats that will become more cost effective as we move along. As we all know, when any new technology comes out, it's quite expensive. And the more it's refined and the more, people get involved, it becomes more, more reasonable. But I do think that we are getting to a point where hybrid is the way people are going to want to go. I think we can all agree that there's nothing like seeing people face to face and actually having a cup of coffee or a lunch or something with them. But I don't know that that's realistic in all occasions anymore. But I think there have been some, I think people are trying to make changes, which is really, really important and trying to do it. And Thomas, you bring up a good point that while CME CPD, we are striving to be innovators and do things. There's some good education out there. It's not always accredited education, but that doesn't mean that it's not necessarily good education. We have seen a lot of things, social media, point of care, webinars, hybrid. How much of this do we think is here to stay? How much of it do we think is just fads or reactions to the pandemic, and we'll kind of go back to the same old, same old? Thomas, what do you think?
I was just shaking my head when you said everything is hybrid. And on the one end, I fully agree. On the other hand, I would disagree. When it comes to work, daily work, yes, we get used, everything is hybrid, people are working from home and so on. And the meetings in the companies, and this is becoming hybrid. But when it comes to medical education, I would say, first of all, you have to say what will be the educational content, what are the learning objectives, what are the needs to deliver. And then it comes to formats, and I would doubt that all conferences should be hybrid and everything should be streamed and recorded. And we produce so many videos and video streams where I question whether we really need that. And I think that will not stay, because that's not cost efficient. And if you have a look at numbers on some cases, I doubt that will stay in this huge amount as it happens at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. Fabiola, yeah, go ahead.
I think that's a very good point, because you end up, for one activity, organizing two separate events. You have to run the online portion and you have to run the live portion. And indeed, in the long run, I can imagine this will not be the rule. However, because of technology advancements, now we have the option to offer an experience that is interactive to the person who could not be there in person. So it doesn't mean just to copy paste what you do live and stream everything. Probably that won't be the way, but that you have that you think within the planning of your CME already on how to make sure it's accessible for people who cannot join, who will join digitally. And I think that's the key of the innovation, that with new tools, you can offer brilliant meetings that happen fully online, but are really interactive and people really learn from it. So that's what I meant when I said now we have to improve processes. Maybe streaming everything is not going to be the rule now, but it was a step necessary in the direction that we are going now. It's a learning curve for all of us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Thomas, you brought it up so well, you know, the good CME practice principles, you know, that we all subscribe to here as members of the Good CME practice group, you know, the transparency, the, you know, making sure that we fit the right need, you know, all of those different pieces that we're looking at, I think are probably more important than ever. And I think you hit the nail on the head when, you know, you're saying that we have these technologies, but the educational design, we have to figure out what, you know, what do we need to teach and how do we need to teach that? And you're absolutely right. There are things that we cannot do in a virtual environment. And I think that instructional design and good education is going to become even more important, because I think our, you know, our gut reaction was to just take everything exactly as it is and put it online. And it kind of reminds me of the days when we went to television from radio. The first television programs were basically just radio shows that they put on television. And then they kind of figured out that didn't work. So, you know, I think, Thomas, you just did a program that was kind of broadcast live from the United States the other day. And while there were some benefits, I think you kind of agreed that the format may or may not have been the perfect one. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I think we should now start a quality discussion and question what does make sense. Everything live, everything same day doesn't make sense. When it comes, for example, to congresses, they offer, for example, a live streaming or not, or face-to-face or hybrid, but running the format best of congress from the congress, if there are really innovations, yes, that can make sense, but we always have to question, at least when it comes to money, how much should we put into that and what is the educational benefit of that? So there is not a general answer to that, but I think we have to question that. And I think the quality thing is also a question when it comes to the stakeholders we have. We have the experts, authors, speakers. They are in the same boat, but in the same struggle as well, because when you have a 3 hours meeting, we experience a lot of speakers saying, I'm coming for my presentation, then moving to the next online meeting. That's not really engaging in the events. And I think that's the same issue where we need the materials earlier and the quality discussion, but I think we are now on the way where it comes to a new normal.
So we have a couple of quick questions before I ask you each for a quick wrap up. One was, will one day accreditors approve microlearning like a 10-minute piece? Fabiola, I'm going to put that one to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going in that direction because there is no other way. Now there's not a choice anymore. And I think some of the accreditors responded more quickly to this need. And I know for a fact that it's already possible to accredit microlearning in several accreditors, but some of them are still very attached to the 1 hour minimum, but it's a matter of time. So my answer is very optimistic on that regard.
Great. So we did have a request about something, if any of us knew anything about any ophthalmology platforms. I don't know if we do off the top of our head, but I would recommend the person who asked that to message the Good CME practice group versus on our LinkedIn page, and we can kind of reach out and see if anybody has that information. So we have about 1 minute each to wrap up here. Fabiola, I'm going to ask you for your final comments, and then Thomas, I'm going to ask you for your final comments.
Okay, the topic of this webinar was innovations, and I think a lot of it were innovations, but they were not disruptive innovations. They were just sped up innovations that were already in the process of taking place. And my views are very optimistic that we're learning from everything that we had to do in this last 2-3 years, and now future looks bright. Just have to improve processes.
Terrific. Thank you. Thomas, your final comments.
I'm also positive. We have been boosted and forced to adapt digitization and new technologies, and we are now, I think, all together working on the new normal and questioning where we had too much technology. We still have face-to-face, we still have printed materials or digital materials to read, and a lot of formats that does make sense. And I'm looking forward to this new normal.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. And thank you to our audience for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you online. Have a good day and a good rest of the week.
That was Good CME Practice Group members Celeste Galanco, Fabiola De Andrada, and Thomas Kleinuder discussing innovations in CME CPD. GCMEP is a membership organization for CME providers based in Europe that aims to promote professionalism within the European CME provider community. More information can be found on the group's website, gcmep.org. Thank you for listening, and join us for more episodes as we explore all things CME CPD.